Amen. Thank you for that song. Please open your Bibles back to Romans chapter 15 and find verse 7. Romans chapter 15, back at verse 7. If you're able, when you find your place, let's stand together. Thankful for all of you who are willing and able to come back out this afternoon. It's a blessing to get together again. And thankful for opportunity for fellowship and those who stuck around. We had some good discussion around the Word of God, and it's just a joy to be able to break bread together and break bread together. Did you see what I did there? Okay. You guys ready?
Ready.
So ready. All right, let's pray and then we'll read. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for the opportunities to gather, to study your Word together in our classes this morning, for the time of worship and preaching this morning, for fellowship. And Lord, you've been so, so good to us, and we thank you. Thank you for the truth that you've revealed to us through your word, and help us to be diligent to search the scriptures, to study things out, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth by the guidance, the teaching of your spirit. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless as we open the word of God this afternoon, that you'll give us ears to hear, that you'll help us to not only hear, but to understand and obey the truth you share with us today. Please, Lord, help us to love you and to love one another, and help us to strive for unity as a church, Lord, that we would be like-minded as Christ. And Lord, please help me right now from nothing without you. May your will be done in every heart and life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Amen. We're going to stop right there. Please be seated. We saw this morning in verses 1 through 4 that we ought to be strong, we ought to grow up, and we ought to be selfless. We ought to seek to please others rather than ourselves. And the stronger, those who understand their liberty in Christ, should seek to please, receive, carry, bear the burdens, build up those who are weaker in their faith. And then we saw that we ought to be like-minded according to Christ in verses 5 through 7. And really, verse 7 kind of overlaps with this, but we want to pick up here at verse 7. And we ought to rejoice for God's promises to the fathers and his mercy unto the Gentiles. We have a lot to rejoice in for God's goodness. Amen. We can read our Bibles and we see the promises that God gave to the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the promises that he gave to Moses and to David. Those promises God has, is, and will fulfill. And he not only gave promises to Israel and those who were of the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but he has given promises to the Gentiles as well, that he was going to send a light into the Gentiles, and we have great reason to rejoice. And so as he kind of wraps up this section dealing with seeking unity in the church, our unity is found in our redemption that's in Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you have peace with God through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he's laying out all these differences between Jews and Gentiles, really through the whole letter. And by the way, that's kind of a theme throughout the Gospels, beyond the Gospels and the letters. You see these differences between the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jewish believers, the Gentile believers, the Jewish world and the Gentile world, and how God, through Christ, has torn down all of those divisions, and there is no division in Christ. Amen. But he's dealt with that all through this letter to Rome, and now he's saying that there's differences not only between Jews and Gentiles, but there's differences between the stronger and the weaker, but all of those are erased in Jesus. All of our divisions and all of the strife and all of those things go away. They just fade into nothingness in the presence of Jesus and in his glory. And so we ought to rejoice in his promises. Jesus, verse 8 says that Christ was a minister of the circumcision. And we know that sometimes the Bible uses the word circumcision to describe the Jews and the uncircumcision to describe those who were not Jews. And that's what he's doing here. Jesus was a minister to the Jews for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And what was the promise? The promise that was given to Abraham was that in his seed, all nations and all families of the earth would be blessed. And it's not seeds as of many, but seed as of one, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen? So Jesus came to minister, to fulfill, to do the work as the priest, the great high priest, to be the fulfillment of the promises that were given to them. Not only that, not only was he a minister to the Jews for the truth and promises of God, but also, verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And aren't you thankful that all of the peoples of the world, the ones who did not get the promises of God, the ones who did not receive the oracles, the law, the ministry, the temple, the tabernacle, all of those things that God did to put his presence in the world, all of the peoples of the world that weren't a part of that, God still had mercy on all of us. Amen. So that's what he's saying. Listen, Jesus came to be a minister to those who got the promises and so that the Gentiles, Christ came not only for them, but also that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. And how merciful has he been to us? As it is written, for this cause, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Verse 9 points us back to Psalm 18, verse 49. Psalm 18 and verse 49 says this, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. This is the prophecy. The heathen, the Gentiles, the same thing. Those who were in the oracles, the promises of God, those who were without. Those who were without were the heathen. That's the Gentiles. That's us. And God said, all the way back in Psalms, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises to thy name. And I want you to get this. Even though the Jews believed God's word and they held to the Old Testament scriptures as the word of God, they just didn't get it. It's almost like they read those promises to the Gentiles and read right over them like they weren't even there. So that when these things came to pass, when Christ came to his own and his own received him not, then he sent later his church out to all the world. The Jewish believers couldn't believe that the Gentiles were being saved and singing praises to God. They couldn't believe that God had given mercy to them too. Amen. And aren't you thankful today? Like, I know we don't get that because it's our context. We've grown up in a Gentile world where the gospel's been ours for as long as we can remember, as long as we can look back into history. But for them, it was different and it was new. And so he was admonishing them to rejoice. Jew and Gentile alike, rejoice because Christ came to fulfill the promises to the fathers, and rejoice because God said that in Christ the Gentiles would sing praises to the Lord, and they have, and we do. And aren't you thankful for the opportunity to praise him? Amen. I hope that you praise him not just here, but everywhere. Amen. I hope you praise him when you wake up in the morning. Amen. And you praise him throughout the day. Amen. And you praise him when you drive down the road, and you praise him when you come home, and you praise him when you go to bed at night. And that we live our lives singing praises to him because we are able to be in his presence because of his great mercy. Verse 10, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Verse 10 points us back to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 43. Deuteronomy 32, 43, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. So Paul points all the way back to Deuteronomy, promises that the nations, the Gentile nations, would rejoice with his people. Who? His people, Israel. But Israel wouldn't be the only ones who would receive the mercy of God because he would send it to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. Rejoice, nations, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. The 117th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. So he quotes from Psalm 117, this song, praise the Lord, all nations. Praise him, all people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. Towards who? Towards all peoples. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because he came to be a light, not just to the Gentiles, but to light every man that comes into the world. Amen. To Jew and Gentile alike. Because his merciful kindness is great towards us. I love that phrase, merciful kindness. Isn't that good? Amen. Sometimes somebody's nice to you because you were nice to them. Somebody does a kindness to you, so you do a kindness in return. That's not merciful kindness. Merciful kindness is when you're kind to someone who doesn't deserve it. And certainly the kindness of God is not deserved by the likes of us. And yet he's merciful and he's kind and he's loving and he's good. And his merciful kindness isn't just there, but his merciful kindness is great toward us. It's exceeding and abundant and wonderful and awesome toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. In our text, it says, praise ye the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. You might wonder what the difference is, because Psalm 117 says, praise the Lord, all you nations, praise him, all you people. And then in our text, it says praise, and then it says laud. Well, they both have the idea of praise, but laud has more of an idea of applause. And there's great reason to rejoice and to express our gratitude towards God, to applaud him and to be grateful to him. And to rejoice in what he's done. It's a natural thing. Just to express our gratitude for God's goodness. And we can do that all kinds of ways. Through singing, through clapping, through rejoicing, through any expression that God stirs our hearts to because of his goodness. I know we studied this a little bit several weeks ago on a Wednesday night. But can I just take a side note here and say, you ought to be willing to express the joy in your heart before God and not be hindered by what you're afraid somebody else might think. Amen. Some of y'all get happy in Jesus and you want to sing louder, but you won't because you're scared about what the person next to you might think. Listen, you ought to express the joy that's in your heart. Amen. David was undignified in the eyes of his wife. He was undignified, no doubt, in the eyes of some other people, but he danced before the Lord. He rejoiced before the God of his salvation, and he didn't care what anybody else thought. Amen. That really ought to be our heart, that we're willing to make fools of ourselves to rejoice in God, our Savior. All right, verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. This points back to Isaiah 11. In verse 10, Isaiah 11 and verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Amen. How about that? Who is that root of Jesse? It's Christ Jesus the Lord. Who was Jesse? Well, Jesse was the father of David. Who was David? He was the king who was promised by God in the covenant that God made with David to have an eternal kingdom, that the king that would come out of the loins of David, his descendant, would rule on God's throne forever and ever. And that is Jesus, the King of glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ is an ensign for the people, of all peoples. And he says that the Gentiles would seek after him. The Gentiles would come unto him. The Gentiles would trust in him. And when the Gentiles came to Jesus, the King, that his rest that he gives them is glorious. Amen. Well, how glorious is it? Well, he gives us peace that passes understanding. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I wonder this afternoon, have you experienced that? Peace that passes understanding? I mean that the rest of the world would look at you and say, how could you have peace in this situation? How could you have peace in your life? How can you have peace in the chaos that's in this world? That doesn't make any sense. That's peace that passes understanding. Amen. What about joy unspeakable and full of glory? Have you ever had so much joy in your heart that you don't have words? Amen. You don't even know how to express it? It's just joy that's overcoming everything and every obstacle and every hindrance in your heart and mind and life and circumstances. And you just have this joy that the world can't touch. Amen. You have a joy that you can't even express, but it's glorious, just like the rest that he's given to us. This is what happens to those who trust in Christ. In verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Amen. I need you to catch this. He doesn't say joy and peace in performing. He doesn't say joy and peace in doing. He says joy and peace in believing. Amen. When your joy and your peace are tied to your performance, it's going to be a horrific roller coaster ride. Amen. You have a good day and your joy and peace are going to be up here. You have a bad day, your joy and peace are going to be down there. When it's tied to your performance, you don't have lasting joy and peace that Christ gives. Right. But when your joy and peace are just bound up in Jesus, in trusting in him, then it's unchanging because he's unchanging. So your circumstances change, you still have joy and peace. Your performance isn't so great today, but you still have joy and peace. You fall on your face in your walk with Jesus, and you can still have joy and peace. This is the hardest thing I'm still trying to learn as a Christian. To rest, that glorious rest, is resting in him and not in what I do. Well, let's just get real. Have any of you guys ever had a morning where you get up early, you don't hit the snooze button too many times, but you get up and your heart's in a good place, and I mean you pray and have sweet fellowship with God and you read the word and it's just alive? Amen. Have you guys ever experienced that? And isn't that wonderful? Amen. And you just, I mean, the joy and peace of God are just, it's like he's just poured it out on you. Amen. You guys know what I'm talking about? Amen. I mean, he just dumps it on you, just Amen. Overflowing. Have you ever had those other days when you hit the snooze button and you don't have that time in prayer and you don't have that time in the word? And you're frazzled and you're rushing around and your children are exceedingly annoying that day and everything goes wrong. Have anybody ever had those days? Amen. And you don't experience the joy and peace of God that day like you do the other days. Amen. Why? Because somewhere in our nature, we've wrapped up our joy and peace in what we do or don't do more than in Christ. And his joy and peace is in you just as much on the day that you don't do so hot as it is the other days. Amen. Has it changed? Has your hope changed? Has the rest that he has given you changed? No, see, and it's all based on trusting in him, not in you. I used to be scared of teaching stuff like that because I was afraid that if I let you guys in on the secret, then you might not be motivated to have those good days. Like if you know, well, if all I got to do is believe, then I'm not going to put the effort out. But I found that the exact opposite is true. When you learn this truth, you desire those days more. Amen. You desire that fellowship more. You desire those moments with Christ more than when you're trying to get something out of it instead of just trying to be near him because he loves you no matter what, to embrace him because he's embraced you no matter what, Amen. To rest in him because he's given you glorious rest. I love it. Has God given you joy? Amen. Has he given you peace? Amen. And Paul's prayer is the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Not just that you have it, but you have it abundantly. What does that mean? Are you going to get more joy and peace? No, it means that you're going to realize it more because he's given it. In your salvation, you have all the joy. In your salvation, you have all the peace. You just miss out on it sometimes because you got too much self. So we got to empty self so that we can experience the fullness that he's given us. In believing, it's all bound up in believing, so that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we have hope through him, not in ourselves. Through prayer, the God of hope can fill you with all joy and peace in believing to the glory of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the time and your word this afternoon, and I pray that you'll work in our hearts. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Lord, I pray that we would understand and experience the joy and peace you've given us in believing. I pray that you would help us to experience that rest that Christ has given to all who believe. He finished the work and is sitting down at the right hand of the Father because it is finished. And that rest we can enter into by faith alone. And help us to enter into that rest and fully experience that rest as we empty ourselves, as we die to ourselves, as we yield to you, that you'd fill us with your Spirit, fill us with that joy and peace of believing, and fill us with all hope through the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your word, the time together in it, and I pray that you give us ears to hear and help us to meditate on these things today, and as we go through this week, as we seek to walk with you, as we live to know you and to make you known, please, Lord, help us to be disciples indeed, continuing in your word, true disciples bearing much fruit for your glory, and help us to be disciples who make disciples, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.